Welcome to Quimper UU Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this recording from our October 22nd service. Reverend Kate Lohr's sermon topic is The Highest Dwells Within Us. The music following the sermon is Sonata in G Minor by Henry Eccles, performed by Marianne Tapiro on cello and Akui Goldstein on piano. Thanks for listening.
Our reading this morning comes from a poem by Denise Levertov called The Fountain. Don't say there is no water to solace the dryness at our hearts. I have seen that fountain springing out of the rock wall and you drinking there. And I, too, before your eyes, found footholds and climbed to drink the cool water. The woman of that place, shading her eyes, frowned as she watched, but not because she grudged the water, only because she was waiting to see we drank our fill and were refreshed. Don't say that there is no water. The fountain is there among its scalloped green and gray stones. It is still there and always there, with its quiet song and strange power to spring in us, up and out, through the rock.
Sound odd, it may sound whimsical, but I'd like to start this morning with a question. How many here have seen at least one Star Wars movie? So I'm going to assume that most, if not all of you, have heard of Jedi Warriors. But did you know that since the turn of the century, Jedi has begun popping up as people's primary religion on the population census? It's happening all over the world. In 2001, for example, 14,000 people in Scotland listed it as their primary religion, as did 70,000 people in Australia, 53,000 people in New Zealand, 21,000 in Canada, and even 640 in Syria. England and Wales, however, had them all beat. Nearly 400,000 people there stated that their religion was Jedi. So, what are we to make of this? Why would people around the world exalt this movie as if it were a religion? Now, I suspect that this phenomenon may be, at least in part, a mockery of organized religion and government structures like census taking. Okay, I get that. I also suspect that there is some archetypal appeal to some of the film's characters. But having spoken with a fair number of Star Wars fans, and even only because I loved him, officiating a wedding with a Star Wars theme, I've come to believe that underneath it all, there may be an authentic yearning for something real, something that they're looking for, a spirituality and an ethic that they can perhaps better relate to, one that is free of what they consider to be antiquated rituals, laws, and assumptions of orthodox religions. Consider this. In a recent survey involving 12 to 25-year-olds from 17 different countries, 55% of these young people identified as being spiritual. At the same time, nearly one-third of them also indicated that they distrusted organized religion. So, if one has a spiritual nature but doesn't trust organized religion, where does one turn to seek answer to those big questions, such as what is sacred? Why are we here? How should we live? Well, apparently George Lucas figured out that many of them will turn to the big screen. In fact, this was a big motive of his. According to his bibliographer, Lucas wanted to instill in children a belief in a universal deity, a cosmic energy force that incorporates everything in our lives. He wanted to break free of the limited versions of God that we find in Orthodox religion, instead giving them a sense of personal responsibility and ethic, and also a sense of mystical interconnectedness. And what I'd like to suggest to you this morning is the possibility that Star Wars filmmaker George Lucas is actually a fan of Ralph Waldo Emerson, and that the Star Wars movies are Lucas's own attempts at articulating a more modern transcendentalism. Now, if this sounds ludicrous, and I realize it may, listen to the description I found on the Jedi Church of America's website. The Jedi Church believes that there is one all-powerful force that binds all the things in the universe together. The Jedi religion is something innate inside every one of us, and therefore the Jedi Church believes that our sense of morality is innate. So, quiet your mind and listen to the force within you. And I have to tell you, this is the most simple synopsis of Emerson's spirituality I have ever encountered. And it is worth noting that this web-based church has 20 to 30,000 members. Now, having discovered this Jedi church and recognizing the veiled transcendentalism, I just had to know, was there any Jedi religionists among Unitarian Universalists? Are you surprised to find that I discovered a Jedi invocation on the UUA's main worship resource website? Apparently, among Unitarian Star Wars fans, May 4th is a special day, and when it falls on a Sunday, there's this invocation for your use. And you see, you know, we do like word plays, and do you know why May 4th is a special day? May the 4th be with you, right? May the 4th be with you. And just so that you believe me, I want to share just a snippet of that invocation. It's a call and response. The leader says, "May the force be with you." And the people say, "And also with you. Lift up your life lightsabers. We lift them up to the rebellion. We call forth the spirit of Obi-Wan Kenobi, patient teacher and speaker of riddles. Come, spirit of Obi-Wan Kenobi, come. We call forth the spirit of Yoda, ancient teacher of wisdom. Come, spirit of Yoda, come." It goes on and on like this, concluding with a reminder that the force truly exists in mutuality and community. So, was Emerson George Lucas's inspiration? It's really hard to say, but just as Luke Skywalker was taught that he could intuit guidance from the force through disciplined practice and intention, Emerson teaches us that we can do likewise. His words, "Let us learn the revelation of all nature and thought, that the highest dwells within us. There is no bar or wall in the soul where we, the effect, cease, and the great mystery, the cause, begins. He continues, there is a deep power in which we exist and whose beatitude is accessible to us. It comes as insight, it comes as serenity, and as grandeur. The soul's health consists in the fullness of its reception. Now, both Yoda and Emerson emphasize that this force, this oversoul, permeates not just living things, but all things. And that when you truly pay attention, you can feel it all around you. It exists between you and me. It exists between us and the rocks and the trees and the oceans and the sky. And yes, dare I say it, even the White House. You must remember that even Darth Vader was connected to the Force, after all. So while everything is sacred and everything is connected, both Emerson and Lucas acknowledge that not everything is good. Sometimes you have to fight to protect what we care about, even when the odds seem impossible. This accounts for the number of battle scenes between good and evils in the Star Wars movies. But transcendentalism asks us, how do we know what is right and just? And both Emerson and Lucas offer the same advice. By truly knowing ourselves, by turning to that deep, unifying, and wise silence that permeates the universe, by developing a discipline of virtue and being devoted to it, and by being brave. This is in stark contrast to what is taught in Orthodox religions, that the word of God or Allah or Yahweh is written down and that it is as relevant today as it was when it was written thousands of years ago, and that we need to submit to it, or at least to the latest leader's interpretation of it. If you differ in opinion, you're a heretic. And here's the sad part. For every Dalai Lama out there who tells us that true religion is kindness, we have 10,000 religious leaders, probably more, who focus on the suppression of people who fall outside the constraints of their very small, rigid little boxes. Subsequently, instead of being a unifying force, far too many world religions drive individuals apart by putting self-righteousness and self-interest ahead of compassion. So instead of focusing on meeting basic human rights or slowing down climate change, far too many fixate instead on abortion, transgender bathrooms, border walls, and the right to bear arms. No wonder so many of our young spiritual people are turning away. But it's not just young people feeling a yearning for something new, is it? I bet there's not a single person here who is not struggling with some sort of moral dilemma. How do I love someone who is so unkind? How do we stop the overreach of corporations? What is our responsibility to people devastated by war, hunger, and natural disasters? How do we keep college and housing affordable? How do we change our trajectory towards destruction without violence or revolution? Do I wish I had a lightsaber right now? You bet I do. But just as the Jedi warriors overcame seemingly insurmountable odds, we can too. But we don't do that by allowing the darkness of these times to shrink us into the confines of our own individualized separate lives. And we don't do that by allowing ourselves to feel so overwhelmed by the magnitude of the battles we now face that we give up. Rather, as both George Lucas and Ralph Waldo Emerson suggest, we overcome these odds by consciously attuning to the power within, the power among, the power beyond us, and then embodying it together. Here's an example. Our local tribal nations, who are taking up the fight against fuel transport proposals from the biggest coal export terminal in North America at Cherry Point to the oil pipeline expansions in British Columbia. I know that Lummi tribal member and totem pole carver Jewel James has spoken here before. Anybody here hear him speak? Wonderful. So I will assume that you know not only about the Lummi's political and legal efforts, but also the spirit at work behind them. Perhaps you, like I, have heard their prayers to the Great Spirit, which they lift up with amazing regularity. And perhaps you, like I, have heard their cry of warrior up as they fight against some of the wealthiest corporations on this planet. And perhaps you, too, have noticed that they're not only fighting to protect their own culture and their own children's children, they are also fighting to protect all of creation, including white persons, their historic oppressors. This is sacred work, and they're doing it in a very disciplined, unifying way. Thus, it's no accident that the Lummi have incorporated the totem pole journey into their activism. This loving, creative journey connects people, native and non-native alike, in a sacred ritual that nurtures healing and bravery in people across North America. And they've been winning their battles, not only in the courtrooms, but in the hearts and minds of all they've met along the way. So clearly, the Lummi have tapped into something powerful and wise. Lucas and Emerson would suggest that we can too. Now, I've already seen the trailer for the next Star Wars movie, opening in December. It's entitled The Last Jedi. And in it, the camera zooms onto a woman that we surmise is this last Jedi. She's beautiful, courageous, and strong, yet also vulnerable. In fact, the trailer closes with her looking upward and saying, "I need someone to show me my place in all of this." Perhaps you, too, are trying to understand your place and purpose in this big, complex universe. Perhaps you, like Emerson and Lucas, and so many young people, are seeking a spiritual and ethical discipline outside of Orthodox religion to help you figure out how to navigate life's priorities and battles. Can we find these answers on our own? Sometimes. But like the transcendentalists, both old and new, I believe in a collective wisdom that is often greater than any wisdom that we can discern on our own. It emerges when we share stories. It emerges when we inspire each other with acts of courage. It emerges when life brings us to our knees and we are surrounded by people who care about us. It emerges whenever we struggle together to decipher the nuances on how to live a moral life, and it emerges here in this sacred space every time we gather. So, even though we are facing great odds right now as a nation and as a planet, please don't give up. to quote the poem that Amy read earlier, I have seen the fountain springing out of the rock wall, for it is here and always will be, with its quiet song and strange power to spring in us up and through the rock. So it's worth noting that one of the first things I noticed on my very first day here was the rock fountain in your memorial garden. What a great metaphor upon which to ground this fellowship. Let us drink from this fountain together so that we might always draw upon the wisdom of what was, what is, and whatever shall be. I hope that the Star Wars fans among you will enjoy this new movie when it hits the screens in December. But I also hope that, unlike so many around the world, you will not feel compelled to write Jedi down as your religion in the next census. Rather, it is my hope that this community and this faith we share will be your primary source for inspiration, healing, and bravery, as long as you each shall live. May it be so. Thank you.